Our reading this afternoon will be taken from 2 Corinthians 8th chapter, verses 8 through 12. 2 Corinthians 8th chapter, 8 through 12. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing man, it is accepted according to that man that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You may be seated.
Thank you, brother. May God bless the reading of his word. You know, I want to let you know that I appreciate that good meal and I appreciate the fellowship that we've enjoyed, but I appreciate even more the request that today's sermon either be 15 or 20 minutes or that I really jump around on stage and keep your attention. I want you to know something, that I was planning on making it about a 15-minute sermon, but our brother Mark reminded me at lunch that I have to continue to work till 6 today in order to get a full day's pay. So we will be here for quite... No, I'm teasing. I will be here quite some time, apparently. You will be gone here in just a few moments. Let's offer our word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with this day, the good time of fellowship, an awesome experience of worship, Lord. Thank you for the people that gather here, my brothers and sisters. I pray your blessing to be upon us as we strive to be who you would have us to be in this world. Lord, please use us if it be your will. And may we always have submissive spirits. I pray that I stay out of your way at this time and that your word is what we glean from. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not long ago, there was an article, or actually it was a book that was written that wanted to showcase the wealth of the world. And so what this particular artist did, it was an individual who took pictures. He went around to various countries and he had individual family units within those countries bring out the entirety of their home ownership. Now, you ladies who attended the ladies' Bible class, this is what we talked about in the very beginning of our ladies' Bible class this last time. Anyhow, the idea behind these pictures were when he went to India, he wanted to see what was in the total house or the wealth of that family in India. When he went to Mexico, he did the same. When he went to Africa, he did the same. And in this collection of pictures, what you see are individuals who are out in front of a shack, or they're out in front of a hogan, or they're out in front of a tent. And what they have is pots and maybe a few pans. Maybe they have some rugs. Some individuals would have oxen. Obviously, that would be a major thing for them to own. Some individuals would have bags of grain, and so on and so forth. And you get the picture. If individuals had any ornamental items in these countries, they were very few and far between. And when they would bring the totality of their house out to have it be pictured, and then they would all sit behind it or sit amongst it in some way, you would come to understand that in many places of the world that there are many people living in small houses and they get by with very little. Now, in that collection of pictures, there was also a family from America. And that family from America obviously would sit in front of a big house compared to the other pictures from other countries. And their collection of their belongings involved things like television sets. And I believe, at least in the pictures that I looked through, there were only a handful of other places maybe that had television sets. I mean, obviously there would be some in Europe or other places, but very few that would own television sets or items like that. This family would have multiple television sets, refrigerators, couches, bedroom suits, cars, and all of it was on the front lawn of a pretty good-sized house. And of course, the whole concept behind that book was not to make Americans feel bad, but it was to show a point that, comparatively speaking, to the rest of the world, Americans are rich. It doesn't matter how poor you are in the sense of your own eyes. The ultimate reality is that poor and rich is a comparative concept. You may be poor in your eyes, but rich compared to someone else. And you may be rich in your eyes, but poor when you're put up against a multi-millionaire. Poor and rich are oftentimes comparative terms because the individual that was in India that came out with their totality of their possessions, in that culture, they might have been wealthy. But when compared to other cultures, their wealth was not the same. You see, when we talk about the subject of being rich and poor, sometimes we measure it in those terms. But I would like to encourage us today to not measure our wealth in terms of our material possessions. But what I would like to see is this, that who you are when it comes to being rich or being poor is ultimately connected to who you are spiritually. Because when an individual understands what is said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, then they begin to understand something of a connection of this concept of rich and poor. You see, 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." You see, the concept of rich and poor as it plays into reality in this life is based upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. And especially today, for the standpoint of you're rich or go ahead, you're rich, what I want us to talk about just briefly, is how is that connected with the way that then I handle my material wealth? Because I would offer this to you, that there is a connection between your spiritual condition and the way that you handle your material possessions. Now, we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, that there is an idea behind the necessity, the opportunity for us as children of God to handle our material possessions in a manner that advances the kingdom. And the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem." What's interesting, why would the gifts be going to Jerusalem? The indication was, as Paul would go about on his missionary journeys, there were collections that were made to send to the saints in Jerusalem who literally were poor in this world. And the reason they were poor is because they were the ones that had ventured to Jerusalem during the Passover at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. They were the ones that stayed over for Pentecost, like we talked about in the Bible class hour. And when they became Christians, the Jews would have excommunicated them. That means they couldn't go home because the Jews back home would not have received them. Their own family members would not have received them. And so they stay now in Jerusalem, which is a hotbed for Judaism, but yet they are isolated now as New Testament Christians. And so Paul, as he's going about on the missionary journeys, there would be collections that would be made to send back to the poor saints that were in Jerusalem. Now, at this point, you see that there is a periodic giving that is mentioned there on the first day of the week. You see, there's a personal aspect to giving, each one of you. There's a planned giving, storing up as he may prosper. There's a preventative, that there be no collections made when I come. And there's a purpose, that he wanted to take the gifts to Jerusalem. Now, in that passage that oftentimes is read before we give every Sunday morning or Sunday night, perhaps, when individuals take the communion who missed in the morning, the idea behind that is we understand that this was a practice of the early church. At least that's what we look at this and say, aha, obviously, Paul was interested in collecting of funds. We know that that's a spiritual principle because in other places, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, he calls them to such from a spiritual standpoint. But when you really look at this, there's two main principles that I would like for you to understand tonight. Number one is this, that giving is a spiritual activity. And number two, giving is an act of fellowship. So when you think about it from a standpoint of a spiritual activity, that's why I go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And the reality is that your wealth is not found in your bank account. As long as we continue to look at my wealth as how big is my bank account or how big, how large is my retirement account, then we are always going to struggle with the way that we handle our material possessions. Because there's never going to be enough. There's always going to be someone who has more. And there's always going to be a concern over the what ifs. But when I stop and I slow down and I read the Bible and understand the spiritual applications, the truth is I am already rich spiritually. And if I am rich spiritually, the question is that enough for me to have total peace? And is it enough not only in me having peace, but for me to understand the way that I am supposed to handle what I have materially? You see, when you begin to look at this from a standpoint of spiritual and material ties, Romans chapter 15 comes into play as Paul here dealing with the church of Rome, which would have been a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. In Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and following, we will hit on this concept of spiritual and material being tied together when he says, but now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. That would be to go back to serve the poor saints. Verse 26, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. I find it quite interesting that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would say that the Gentiles are indebted to the Jews. I mean, after all, the Jews are the ones that for so long were saying that the Gentiles didn't have access to Jehovah God as covenant people because they were not of Abraham's descendants. There were many times they were treated as second-class citizens. They were the outcast. Yet now we find that when the Gentiles obey the gospel, when they become Christians, the terminology that is used there is an indebtedness. In other words, they shared in the spiritual blessing, the spiritual things that the Jews once shared in alone, but now the Gentiles are in, so now they are also then indebted to share their material things. I find it quite interesting that that link is made, but I also believe this, that the link is made because when you understand the spiritual blessings and you understand how rich you are in Jesus, then that connects to the material part of who you are. In other words, you have to ask, what is the purpose of my house? What is the purpose of my car? What is the purpose of the money? What is the purpose of the food in my refrigerator? And if it's not all tied back to the spiritual aspect of who we are and what we are to utilize those things for spiritual principles, it'll be for physical nourishment in the sense of the food, but the reality is this, that you and I have an opportunity to share physically and materially, but ultimately the goal is to share spiritually with them. You see, when you start looking at this from a spiritual activity, one has to understand that the way you handle your material possessions is a reflection of the way you understand God at His own nature. Because God is a God who gives. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He became poor so that you could become rich. He emptied Himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following. When you go back to why all of that happened, John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most quoted is an understanding concept, and that's because God so loved the world. Why did Jesus empty Himself? Because God so loved the world. Why did He take on the form of a bondservant? Because God so loved the world. Why did He become poor so you could become rich? Because God so loved the world. So therefore, why and how does that play into you connecting to God with the way that you deal with what you have? Well, it immediately connects this way. Do I love like God loves? If I love like God loves, then I also will then look for ways to bless. And in that blessing, it's a giving concept. You see, giving is a spiritual aspect. And so when the collection plate is passed, or when you have the opportunity to give to a certain collection, like the trip to Haiti or the peanut butter drive, or maybe in the support of the children's home, if it's a general collection for the advancement of the work of this body of people in this community, you really do have to start looking at it from a standpoint of, look, that's not a $20 bill, that's not a $50 bill, that's not a $100 bill, that's not a $500 donation. The reality is this, that is an overflow of the abundance, because everything that I am is rich because of my relationship with God through Jesus. Therefore, I view what little I have as more than enough. That's what happens throughout the Bible when you start looking at the way that people viewed their belongings. The idea was that they were always going to have enough, but that wasn't meaning that they were always going to have a bank account that was going to be huge. It was the idea of when somebody is spiritually minded with what's going on, they have determined that whatever they have is already enough. Why? Because Jesus is already enough. That's the spiritual component. Physically, though, or from another point, and I want you to know this, that giving is an act of fellowship. And so even though it may look like I individually dropped money in the plate or individually made a contribution to Haiti or made a contribution to the peanut butter drive or to the children's home or to whatever good work that is taking place, the truth of the matter is this. I want you to envision it much like a task that is too hard for one person to handle on their own. I thought about doing this, and then I thought, no, after the lunch, I don't want to wake people up to do this. So the idea was if one of these pews, one of the bigger pews, I would have somebody try to pick a pew up by themselves. And the truth of the matter is, unless you're Cody, nobody's going to pick it up by themselves, right? Cody probably could, but the rest of us probably would not be able to. And so what we would have to do is then we would have to call two or three, four or five other men to come over to pick a pew up. And the truth is, individually, the task was too large for one person. But when we collectively come together, then we accomplish the task. Giving is that same concept. For you, it may be a fixed income concept. It may be the widow's mite concept. But the truth is that when you give according to your prospering and others give according to theirs, eventually there is a great collection that has been rendered. It would be the same concept of an individual pulling on a rope by themselves. They can't do it, but they say, hey, come help me. And before too long, you have a bunch of people pulling on the rope and the task is able to be accomplished. Giving is the same way. It's an act of fellowship. And that's why even in the Bible, it's described in those terms with the word koinonia that is used, at least in root form in multiple places in referring to the concept of giving. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, the New American Standard will say in this text, understand, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 are the body passages, the body of Christ. We've all been given different gifts. We all fit differently in the body of Christ. That's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. And in the Romans 12 passage regarding where we fit, verse 13 simply says this, that there are those who fit and fall into that aspect of contributing to the needs of the saints. Now that word contributing, some of your translations won't say that. The New King James says distributing. I'm not sure what the King James says or any other translation. But the root word behind that is the same root word that is tied back to koinonia. And that is this, that in your efforts, in your contribution to the needs of the saints, you are joining with a bigger picture of individuals who are doing the same. The task is too large for one, but collectively you can accomplish it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 will say this, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. That word shared is the word koinonia. And so as the Apostle Paul puts it, he'll look at it from the standpoint of, look, when you give, you are really joining with the effort. You're joining with the cause. You are putting your hand to the rope. You are joining in the effort to pick up the pew. And the reality is, not everybody is capable of bringing the same monetary amount. But that's never been the picture. It's never been the expectation that everybody had to give a certain amount. Now, in the Old Testament, we know there was a tithe, so we're not dealing with the Old Testament, I'm dealing with the New. And in the New it was, give as you've been prospered. So the idea behind that is this, you give as you've been prospered, I'll give as I've been prospered, the next person will give, and before too long, you find this, you find a collection where people came together and shared in a cause. Now, you may look at that and say, well, what's the point there? What's the difference? Well, one of the neat differences is that sometimes you share in that cause with people that you may not have had commonality with. Not everybody in this room has the same commonality. Now, we're all commonly linked, those who are Christians, through the blood of Jesus, but we all come from different backgrounds. We have different experiences. We have different jobs. We have different maybe experiences even within the Lord's church. We have different passions. Maybe you're very passionate about Haiti, but there may be other people who are very passionate about a missionary in Africa. But the reality is this, when you come together, it's not about where it goes, it's about what you do in coming together. That's been God's plan for the way we deal with material blessings and an aspect of the fellowship that we have. The early church shared in that, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, they had all things in common. They were taking care of one another. That commonality would be seen in Titus 1:4 with their faith, Jude 1:3 with the salvation. In other words, you share in matters of spiritual nature, but you also share in matters of physical. And there's a unifying concept that plays out in that picture of giving. It's a very simple lesson. Believe me, it's not one that's meant for you to have to write a dissertation about, but it is one that maybe focuses a little different. Maybe in this afternoon when you look at and evaluate your stuff, kind of like in those pictures. I can't help when I saw those pictures and I was able to look at the reason behind the images of the family in India who brought out everything, or the family in Africa, or the family in Tibet, and then I see the family of an American family. And there's a part of you that makes you want to say, man, why am I complaining? I mean, look at what we have compared to what they have. And why would I ever think that I'll do more when I have more? I mean, at what point in time does that not work anymore? I'll do more when I have more. I'll give more when I have an abundance. The truth is, we have an abundance when we decide that Jesus is enough for us. The Bible says you're rich. But your rich doesn't come because of a raise at work, and it doesn't come because you saved well. Your rich comes because Jesus became poor. I pray that that will influence the way that we look at our material possessions, the way that we look at the reasons that we even have those material possessions and what we do with those. This lesson, by no means was it designed to teach you how to become a child of God, but it was designed to teach you how to live, understanding that Jesus is enough in your life. But today I recognize that there may be some individuals that you've gotten so caught up and so distracted by this world and by the material worries of this world that you have not even embraced Jesus being enough. I want to encourage you over the next day, maybe the next week, I want to encourage you to consider, if you were to die today, how many material possessions could you take with you? And the answer is zero. So those material possessions, they don't mean anything in the long run. But the way you deal with those material possessions, that does mean something in the long run. And I just want you to think about this week, how things are different when I let Jesus be the source of my rich, and understanding how poor he became so that I could be in that situation. Today, though, if you are desiring the prayers of the church, we want to offer those for you. We want to walk with you. Maybe there's someone here that through the course of this morning and maybe through the course of lunch, you have been contemplating your salvation. And perhaps you're ready to obey the gospel by confessing Jesus as Lord, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't know where you are even on this subject. But if we can help in any way, we want to do so. We invite you to come forward as together we stand and sing.